Welcome to everybody. We're so glad you came out and on this cold and windy morning for WMU Focus Sunday today. We are observing that, and so you'll see lots of girls and women that participating today that don't normally participate, so pray for us. We welcome everybody. If you're a guest, we especially welcome you, and we hope that you'll fill out one of the cards in the back of the pew there that gives us your name and tells us a little bit about you so that we can get to know you and maybe send you some information that will tell you about our church in case you want to come back again, which we hope that you will. We have a few announcements. Certainly we want to thank the men this morning for a wonderful breakfast they cooked for the women this morning, and they outdid us. They just really had a good breakfast. My mama was happy to see ham. But it was really good this morning. We appreciate so much the effort that y'all put forth this morning. There's another book. The men wanted me to say to remember the Baptist men's breakfast is next Sunday at 8:30. So any of the men that want to attend that, you come. I got some stickies here. If you are a new member of the church, recently have joined our church, we have a bulletin board that's in the hallway over here, and we have pictures on it of new members. Helps us to learn who you are when we see you in the hall, and you can learn us easier. So if you have not had your picture taken, please meet Kathy Seal over in the atrium, and she will take your picture after the worship hour so that we can get your picture on the board. Let's see. That's that one. I believe that's all the announcements. Are there any other announcements that need to be made at this time? Okay. Let us bow for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful day. We know that it could be worse. It could be 12 foot of snow, and we just thank you so much that it's just cold. We thank you for the heat and warmth and pray for those today that don't have warmth. Lord, comfort them in some way. Lord, we just pray that each of us will, when we see opportunities to help other people, that we will do so and act on those feelings of wanting to help them. We thank you, Lord, for this service today and pray that it will be a worshipful experience for everybody that's attending today. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing the first verse of page 4. This will be our call to worship. To God be the glory.
You know, a lot of great things happened back in 1949. Two great things that I can think of is, one, I was born. And the other is that WMU was born at Flat Springs Baptist Church in 1949. So I hope that you'll take time to look at the section in your bulletin that talks about WMU here at our church. It lists the different organizations that we have here. That's for women and girls, We have Baptist men, we have RAs, lots of mission organizations in this church where you can be a member of and find many ways to serve the Lord. If you're a member of WMU, would you please stand at this time so we can see how many are here? All the ACT teens, mission friends, GAs, women on mission, everybody that's...
There we go.
Thank you so much. Stand right there for just a minute. If you see somebody standing beside of you that's in WMU, I hope that you'll talk with them before the day is over with and ask them how you can be a member and how you can join them. They might even offer you a ride to the meetings. So thank you, ladies. Thank you so much. I appreciate everybody that came today and that's participating today. Everybody's nervous. I have been a member of WMU since I was about 5 years old, and I appreciate my mama taking me to Sunbeams and getting me started in it, because WMU does provide so many ways to serve God and make you a better Christian. It keeps me informed of our missionaries, many of whom are risking their lives every day to spread the gospel. In Mark 8:34, Jesus tells us, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. We've all heard that verse many, many times, but it never gets old. The WMU emphasis this year is surrender to God, sacrifice willingly, serve God intentionally by following Christ in our community and world. The president of North Carolina WMU said recently that something that really impressed me. She said, God does not need us to accomplish his will and purposes. He can do whatever he wants to do. But he desires that we be his hands, his feet, and his voice as we serve others as Jesus did. The Bible tells us that works will not get us into heaven. But it also says that works without faith without works is dead. So by the time you leave today, it's my prayer that each of you will ask yourself, can WMU help me be a better person, a better servant of God? Let us pray. Our Father, we do pray that each of us will do our part in this world to be a better servant of God. Lord, we just thank you for every opportunity you send our way, and we just ask that you help us to be sensitive to those needs around us so that we can act on those needs and help those around us that are less fortunate, those that don't know Jesus Christ, Lord, so that we can spread the gospel. Help us just to relax and tell our story, as our pastor has been teaching us recently, to tell our story and to share it with other people so that they can come to know the Lord. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and open our hymn books to page 600. Sing the first and the fourth verse.
Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for this day of worship and all that you have given us. Thank you for the women of this church and all that they do. Please accept these offerings that they might please you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We have a lot of talent among our act teams and our GAs and adults in this church. We have a lot of talent. And today, Peyton Griffin's going to play the guitar, and then her friends are going to sing. And we just appreciate y'all getting up here. We know you're nervous, but you'll do great. Thank you.
Just having a time, y'all.
Amazing grace.
This year at my school, we started a club, the Aftershock Faith Club, a name made up by Peyton. We decided to do this club because we were talking about spreading the word in ACT Teens, and we thought that maybe we could start a club at our school easily.
The verse Micah 6:8 says, "He hath shown me, O man, what is good, and what does Jehovah require of me but to do justly, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with God." This verse is on the new shirts we got for our ACT Teens group. ACT Teens is about learning about God and learning to worship Him. We also talk about ways to let God show through us so we can witness to others. We meet at 7:15 on Wednesday nights, and all middle school and high school girls are welcome.
Thanks for coming this morning. It's mighty cold to get out this morning. Come in. I got some pictures I want to show you today. Can you see this one? It's a picture of the mountain, isn't it? Can you see the sun? Isn't it beautiful? Look at this one. See the high mountain peak? And this one is green. Isn't that gorgeous? Beautiful mountains. And the last one has what on top of it? Ice and what?
Snow.
That's right. Okay, those are beautiful pictures of the mountains. And I have a question for you. Have you ever been to vacation and gone to the mountains? Okay, some of you have. That's great. Good. That is my very, very favorite vacation, to go to the mountains. I just love it there, even more than the beach. And, you know, we really enjoy going to the mountains for lots of reasons. Now, this first reason is going to be hard for you to kind of believe today. But in the summertime, it's really hot. And sometimes we like to go to the mountains because it's cooler there. Can you imagine that today? It's so cold. And another reason we like to go to the mountains is the beautiful view you see there. It's gorgeous in the mountains. When you're down in the valley, sometimes it's hard to see the beauty that God's made. But when you get up on top of the mountain, you can just look down and see everything and appreciate what He's made for us. Sometimes people go to the mountains to get away from the hustle and bustle of everyday life. You're just working busy all the time, and you go there and just relax and sit back. And when you get there, sometimes you don't even want to come back home. It's so pretty, and you're having such a good time in the mountains. Well, did you know that Jesus also went on a mountain retreat? I bet you didn't know that. And He didn't go alone. He took three disciples with Him. He took Peter, James, and John with Him on the mountain. I'm going to read about that to you. And it is taken from Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 10. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him and led them up to the high mountain where they were all alone. There, Jesus was transfigured before them. That means changed. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anything in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them also Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because the disciple just really didn't know what to say. He was so frightened. And then a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And a voice came from the clouds. Listen to what this voice said. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, no one was there with them anymore except Jesus. As they were going down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. The disciples kept this matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. While Jesus was on the mountain, he changed, didn't he? His appearance changed. The three disciples liked it so well up there that it sounded like they just wanted to stay up there on top of the mountains. But did they stay? No. Jesus had them to come back down, didn't he? This is what Jesus knew. He knew that the time on the mountain would give them new strength, because Jesus knew that coming to the disciples soon were very difficult days. But being up there would give them strength. And the same is true for you and me. Some days we have really, really good days, don't we? And some days it's not so hard. It's not so good. Sometimes we have a hard day. But Jesus knows that our good days will help us get through the ones that aren't so good. Okay? So we thank God that we can go to the mountains and have a little relaxation. And remember that he's going to be there to help us in the hard times. Let's have a prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for mountain experiences. We thank you for the times we can spend and relax. And that will help us with the days ahead that will be difficult. This we thank you in your name. Amen. Thank you for coming.
As the children are going back to their parents or to children's church, I'd like to call your attention to the prayer concerns that are listed in our bulletin. I'd like for you to please add Nora McNeil, who is a patient at Central Carolina Hospital, to that prayer list, and also Isaac Cameron, who is the son of Julie and Chris Cameron. Isaac is in boot camp at the Naval Base in Great Lakes, Illinois. So those of you who have been in boot camp know he needs our prayers. One of our privileges and responsibilities as a Christian is to pray for those who are going through difficult times and for those who have special needs. So I encourage you to take this list and add it to your own personal prayer list and pray for these people this week. Now, would you bow with me as I pray? Father, we thank you for the assurance that you always listen to our prayers. You know the needs and the circumstances of those we pray for, and we pray that you will lead us in ways that we too can minister to them. We're grateful for the dedication of those who serve Christ through missions in our church, our community, and throughout the world. Many of them are serving far away from home and in dangerous locations. We pray that you will protect them from harm and disease as they diligently serve Christ by ministering to both the physical and spiritual needs of those that they are called to serve. Bless them in their efforts to bring the hope and the light to a dark world. And it's in His name that we pray. Amen.
Will please turn to page 617 in your hymnal for the responsive reading that we have today. If you were in Sunday school today, this will sound very familiar. If you weren't in Sunday school today, we invite you to come next Sunday. We have a wonderful time in Sunday school and Bible study, and would love to see everybody there on next Sunday. Page 617. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. But if any one has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in deed and in truth. Thank you. Our speaker today, I'm going to go ahead and introduce her before our choir special so I don't have to get up here again. Donna Smith, I'm sure many of you know her because she's lived in Sanford for years. Our church participates in Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse Operation Christmas Child. Most of you put something in our Operations Christmas Child box every month, as Laura May and Betty Lou let us know what we're collecting that month. And then many of you help stuff the boxes in November when we're trying to get them ready. All of this, it's fun throughout the year, and it's good. Each time we put something in those boxes, we need to know that we are helping to spread the love of Christ to all these children. And so Donna has come today, and she's going to talk with us. She goes to Jonesboro Heights Baptist Church, a member there, and she is the one that's kind of in charge of, well, I'll let her tell you what she does, but when we take our boxes to Jonesboro Heights Baptist Church, and they get them on and send them to Charlotte and to children. So I've asked her to come today since we're starting a new year of participating in this project so that she can let us know of some of her experiences with this particular ministry. Thank you, Donna, so much for coming.
Oh, Our scripture today is James chapter 2, verse 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the needs, giving them things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your words. Please let it speak to each of us so that we may better serve you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. I thank you so much for inviting me here today. I have participated in many WMU Focus services, but I have a confession to make. I have never been the WMU Focus speaker before, so bear with me. It is quite an honor and a privilege to speak to you today about a ministry that's near and dear to my heart, and that is Operation Christmas Child. And although this is my first time to speak here, you and I are not strangers. So many of you have been longtime supporters of Operation Christmas Child and have participated in many, many facets of the ministry. As a congregation, you all have packed boxes for years, and this is vital to the children across the ocean that need to hear about Jesus. You've come to serve at the Collection Center at Jonesboro Baptist during National Collection Week. You've done everything from cartonizing all those shoeboxes to your youth and your families coming to load all those shoeboxes onto tractor trailer trucks. And some of us have even had the pleasure of traveling together to Charlotte to process the shoeboxes and send them on the next phase of their journey. And because you are such a special group of people and you have invested yourselves in this ministry, I'd like to share a praise report with you on the shoebox totals from 2014. You are only the second group of people in Sanford to hear these new totals. So, in Sanford alone, now this is just Sanford and the surrounding areas, we received 6,514 shoeboxes. But because we are a collection center, which means that we have two other, they call them relay centers that feed into larger collection centers, we have two of those, Apex and Lillington, that feed into Jonesboro Baptist. And because we have those feeding into us as well, Sanford had a total of 11,015 boxes. These were all boxes that moved through Jonesboro Baptist. And youth and families, did you realize that you helped move 11,015 shoeboxes that night that you came? And it was so cold and dark. We thank you. Now for the best part. Worldwide, we collected 10,440,333 shoeboxes, with 7,991,000 of those coming from the United States. We are not the only country that packs shoeboxes. We have 10 other countries that help us in this ministry. But each of those 440,333 shoeboxes, they represent gospel opportunities. That's what I want you to take away. Those are all opportunities. That many children get to receive a gospel storybook that's written in their own language, and they're going to hear about Jesus as that box is presented to them. They also have an opportunity in about 69 countries currently to enroll in a discipleship program called The Greatest Journey. And this is a discipleship program that has been printed in the child's language. It goes through the life of Christ. It teaches them about Jesus. It teaches them about the Bible, teaches them how to pray, and it also teaches them how to then go out and tell their friends about Jesus. So the national Christians that remain in that country with those kids can continue to disciple these children and bring up the next generation of Christians. So I thank you for your faithfulness in this ministry as we work together to introduce Jesus through these shoeboxes. And I hope and I pray that our relationship will continue for many, many years to come and that we'll all continue to grow together in this ministry. When Miss Linda asked me to come and share with you about Operation Christmas Child, I began to think about the connection that Baptist women have to OCC, and I came up with several points to share with you. As you know, our WMU theme for the year is All for You, and we've been challenged to surrender ourselves to Christ, to deny ourselves, to give ourselves fully to Him, however that may look in each of our individual lives. We're supposed to sacrifice willingly, to take up our cross and follow Him. And we are to serve our Lord out in our community, across our state, and into this nation and around the world. And I just love how God works. We've already heard the verse that I was going to read today. But in Matthew 25, verse 40, it says, "And the king will reply, 'I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me.'" And I believe that Operation Christmas Child is a wonderful way to serve Christ. And as we participate in this ministry and serve our Lord through this ministry, we find that these shoeboxes that we love to fill with toys and school supplies and hygiene items, that these shoeboxes hold even more than the tangible items that bring temporary joy and smiles to children. And let me give you some examples. These shoe boxes can bring hope. There was a little girl in Bosnia who was 11 years old, and the country was in a great time of war. And even as an 11-year-old, she was tired. She was scared. She was tired of seeing the soldiers on the streets. She was tired of seeing all the guns and the bombs going off every day. She was tired of being poor. She was tired of not having enough food to eat. She was tired of having to wait in long lines to get the food. She was tired of only having a dozen eggs to feed she and her brother and mother and father, and those eggs had to last a month. She was tired of not having sugar. And so one day, as she was preparing to go to school, she had shoes that were totally done. The top of the sneaker had separated from the bottom of the sneaker. Her dad had tried to wire it shut and had done the best he could. But it was cold that day, really cold. It was snowing. There was already slush on the roads. And she had an hour that she had to walk to school, had to go that far. And so she didn't want to go, and her mom was saying, "Yes, yes, you're going." And so she walked the hour to school. And by the time she got there, she said her feet were the coldest they'd ever been in her entire life. And she'd gotten madder and madder and sadder, and had even considered on the way of just running away from home. Luckily, she got to school, and there was a shoebox distribution that day. But still, she was seething, and she goes and she stands up against the wall, and all the other kids are trying to get her to come and accept a shoebox, and she's not having any part of it. And finally, one of the folks on the distribution team came over and handed her a shoebox. And she thought, "Well, I don't need a shoebox. I don't have anything to put in it." And they said, "Open it. Just open it." And then when she opened her shoebox, can you imagine what was in there? She was the only child at that distribution that had a pair of shoes in her shoebox. The Lord knew she needed some hope. Love also can be found in these boxes. There was a girl in an orphanage who was going through a hard time. tired of being an orphan, wanted to be adopted so badly. And so she was starting to act out. She'd been there a while, and it was time. She wanted to have parents. And so the workers in the orphanage felt like, well, good, there's a distribution coming. That'll help her feelings. And they started telling her about these wonderful shoeboxes that were coming, and they were going to be filled with toys and candy and school supplies. And she said, no, I don't want one. All I want are parents. That's all I want. And they said, well, when they come, you'll be ready. You'll accept a box. Nope, all I want, I just want to be adopted. I just want parents. Well, honey, they said, there will not be parents in that box. This is going to be things you can enjoy. No, she was adamant. She did not want a shoebox. But on the day of the distribution, again, she accepted her shoebox. And inside her shoebox, there was a letter with a picture of a husband and a wife. And they had written a letter to the child that would receive their shoebox. Well, she eagerly wrote back. And as the year went on, the letters kept exchanging. And in the end, about a year and a half after that, that couple, who had no children of their own, came and adopted the girl who just wanted parents. So there's love in these shoeboxes. There's also restored families in these shoeboxes. There was a 10-year-old girl in South Africa dealing with the pain and sorrow of her parents divorcing. And she got to go to a distribution, and she got a copy of the greatest gift of all, the gospel storybook about Jesus. And so when she got home that day, she called her dad, and he wasn't living with them, of course, and said, please come over and look at what I got today. And so she'd been reading that gospel storybook. And so when he arrived, the little girl started telling him about Jesus and about the love of Jesus and how Jesus had been with her when he was not. And so he was so touched that he returned home the next week and he canceled the divorce. Restored families come in shoeboxes. Would you believe that Valentine's Day is come and gone, but love was in the air, but there's also love and romance in these boxes. There was a girl in the Philippines that received a shoebox in the year 2000, and it was from a little boy in Idaho. And he had put in his shoebox a picture of himself, and he had on the cowboy hat and the shirt with the lariat and the whole nine yards, and he'd written his name on the back of the picture. So she wanted to send him a letter and tell him how much she appreciated the shoebox. So she did. She sent the letter, but he never received it. Well, time went on. She came to accept Christ as her Savior. Her dad came to accept Christ as his Savior, and he became a pastor even. So 11 years passed, and she decides that maybe she could find this guy who sent her the shoebox on Facebook. So she puts in a friend request, and she had figured out, you know, he was the backgrounds of the picture. There were mountains, and so she looked up on a map of the United States which states had mountains, and because she'd lost his address a long time ago. So she sent a friend request, and the town that this shoebox guy lived in, there's only 160 people in his town. So it went right to him, and he responded. They communicated for over a year, and they were figuring out they had a lot in common, and, you know, they'd like to meet. And so he saved up his money, and he went to the Philippines. Well, they decided they weren't going to date until they got the permission of the dad. And so about halfway through his visit, he got his courage up, and he asked the dad, could we date? And the dad said yes. And so their romance continued. He went on back home, though, started saving more money, and then he proposed. And this past October, they were married, some 15 years after she received her shoebox. So, romance in a shoebox. There's also community that comes in a shoebox. I hope you all got to read the article that was in the Sanford Herald about the family in Lexington, North Carolina, that had been sending shoeboxes for, I think, 6 years. And they had never received a letter back until recently. And then after they received that letter back, it had the address in there of the family. And it was a family from India. And so they started communicating back and forth, developed a nice friendship, learned a lot about the family. And, of course, being in India, that family had a lot of needs. And so the family in Lexington decided, you know, we can help with this. Well, they mentioned it, of course, at their church, and the church got involved. And they said, well, ask them what else they need. I'm sure their needs are huge. And so they did, and, of course, the needs were great. So they helped with some medical expenses. They helped with some schooling requirements. They had some housing issues. So the community started coming and being involved because the church folks were going out and asking, you know, to help, for help, financial help. So it came to the point in time where they thought, it'd be neat to bring this family over here so that they could meet their brothers and sisters in Christ. So now there's a fundraiser going on, and they have so far been able to raise the money for the airplane tickets, and now they want to get enough money together to take them to Washington, D.C., and New York City, and to the beach and the mountains, of course. And so that trip is going to be happening in the next little bit. But they want to have plenty of time for the Indian family to be able to go around and meet the different people in the community that have loved on them and cared for them and prayed for them. So there's community in these shoeboxes. There's also eternal life in these shoeboxes. There was another family in India. The father was an alcoholic, and the 10-year-old boy was living in a horrible situation in the home, a lot of domestic violence, often went to bed hungry. And so he decided he was going to just take to the streets, that he would have a better chance out there. So he moved in and out of various shelters, but he never was able to stay because he had so many anger issues. He had people that were trying to mentor him to no avail. He was just angry. But one day, he stopped by one of these feeding programs at one of the shelters, and he received a shoebox. Well, the workers there were overjoyed that he finally had a smile on his face. They had not seen that from him. And so after the shoebox, he was a little bit more receptive to listening to them tell about Jesus and the love of Christ. And so he began to go to church with them. And he even enrolled in school and came off the streets and stayed there at the shelter. Eventually, he was healthy, he was stable, he wasn't angry anymore, and he was able to go home. Well, his mom saw the changes in him, and he started telling her about Jesus Christ and the difference that he had made in his life. And so she started going to church with him and accepted Christ. Then the father, who had been an alcoholic and had given their home such a bad place to be, saw the changes in his wife and his son, and he began attending church. And yes, he accepted Christ as well, and the whole family is now going to have an eternal home. There's one last story I want to tell you, and this is about a guy named Alex. And he grew up, for the very youngest part of his life, in Rwanda, a country that, of course, suffered from genocide. Well, at the height of all that unrest in Rwanda, he was 4 years old and saw his grandmother and his uncle killed right in front of him. And it wasn't strangers that killed him. It was neighbors, his very own neighbors. Well, he had an aunt that took him in, and she became sick and passed away. And so he ended up in an orphanage. Well, at the age of 7, he received a shoebox. And it was the best gift that he had ever received, of course. It brought him so much joy in a life that had been so sad for so long. And he just remembers being so excited to have something of his very own. I'm not going to tell you any more about Alex because I want you to come and hear him in person. He is going to be at New Salem Baptist Church in Pittsburgh on Sunday night, March 29th at 6 p.m. He has now grown up, of course, and works for Operation Christmas Child and is one of their national spokespersons. But his testimony is so amazing and so thrilling, and it is a story of forgiveness. And it will touch your heart and let you know that forgiveness comes in a shoebox too. So don't forget, I'm going to have a poster that I'll give to Miss Linda so that you all can keep it and pass it around and make sure you go. It'd be great to have the ACT teen group and youth and adults all to come and hear his testimony. As you can see, God can use a shoebox, can he not? So I want to challenge you today to be a part of his work. Join God in this ministry because his hand of blessing is on this ministry. It is such an easy way to make a difference in the life of a child. So decide that you're going to say, all for you, Lord. I'm ready to surrender my all to you. I'm going to make sacrifices. I'm going to serve you, whether it's in packing a shoebox for Operation Christmas Child or serving him in another capacity. So I challenge you, let's be his disciples in our world today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna, for showing us how God works and puts little things together. That's really how God works, isn't it? He puts little things together. And I wonder today what God might be saying to us, as our theme has been surrender all. I wonder if today, in this time of worship, I thought as the ladies sang of Amazing Grace, and then our other ladies sang about to the work. That's what it's about, by God's grace, that we do the work. And Donna, you have shared some amazing stories of how God takes folks who surrender and uses them in a mighty way. Our hymn is page 275, What Else? I Surrender All. Today, if God's Spirit is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him, we would encourage and invite you to do so as we stand together and sing.
Trust in his presence.
Donna, thank you again for coming and sharing with us. And because I appreciate you so much, I'm not going to ask you to stand back in that cold door with me. But I hope you'll come by and express your appreciation to her. That's a gift God's given you. You did a tremendous job. Thank you for putting those stories so alive in our hearts and in our lives. And so as we collect those items, maybe it would be good, and probably you're already doing so, but maybe just before you drop them in the little kitchen, to say a prayer. Lord, use this for your glory as I put my little part with the 120. How many do we do? 120. Where's Laura May? 118. And then they go to 6,000 and then 11,000 and then, I'm not going to do that million. I'd get lost like you did. I'm not going to do that, but the millions. But opportunities and the people's lives that God uses to touch that. What an amazing reality. A little part that we can each do. You know, we might have bad weather, but financial peace is going to start, and John's got the kits. If it's good weather, we're starting. If it's bad weather, we're going to start next Tuesday. How about that? We'll leave it there. But glad for those that will be a part of that. And to our WMU, who do so much, thank you. Thank you for all the work that you do in so many, many ways that touch this community and touch to the uttermost parts of the world that we won't know until we get in glory how God has used it. And may God continue to help us surrender all to be faithful to his work. And now as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence, that we might be his people in the midst of all his people. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for this day of worship. Thank you for challenging us that your grace leads to work and your work leads to touching other lives, and that's your plan. It comes all the way from the cross to even now to the uttermost parts of the earth. Help us as missionary-minded Baptists that we might be ever mindful that our call is in our local place to the uttermost parts of the world. And Lord, even now, we pray for the ministries all around the world in your name that are being carried out. Go with us now from this place. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.